You know what I noticed? People are crazy when it comes to eating meat. And I'm not talking about vegetarianism like I did last semester. I'm just talking about when people choose the meat they eat. We literally eat hundreds of types of fish, from catfish to shark. But when it comes to mammals, we only eat four. I mean, there's like pig and cow, maybe some more cow and pig. And then we have chicken and turkey. Okay, those aren't mammals, but you see what I'm saying. Where's all the raccoon and rabbits? They used to eat all that stuff in colonial times. They would just shoot whatever moved. How fun would that be? And another thing. You're listening to KPCRadio.com. I'm James. Thank you for listening. And first things first, I need to mention that this show is going to be moving. Instead of Monday mornings, this show will now be on live Friday at noon. So there will actually be an extra show this week. How cool is that? Also, how cool is the disclaimer I got? I'm one of those guys on the radio now that you people need to be warned about. Now, that's something I've always aspired to. All right. I want to jump right into the topic today, which is sexism. And I need to apologize right up front. One, because I am a guy, a college guy, at that. So talking about sexism is not the most appropriate source of hearing about sexism in America. But also, it is such a huge topic that there's just no possible way I'm going to talk about everything I want to talk about in just these 25 minutes. It's just I'm just not going to mention everything, and I'm sure I'm going to miss things. And if you want to jump in, go to the Facebook page, please. Just look for andanotherthing.kpcr, or you can email me at andanotherthing.kpcr@gmail.com. Leave your comments. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think is bad about sex in this country. We will be diving right into that. I want to start with what started this topic in my mind. A couple weeks ago, was walking home with a classmate, walking from class to the parking lot, actually. And I was walking with him. He's a young male, you know, 18, 19. We were just chatting. And it comes up that, you know, I don't have a job to worry about. I'm a full-time student, and I'm married. My wife goes to work. She supports the household. And we're talking about, I get the usual question, but you will get a job after you graduate, right? That's why you're in school. And that's a whole other capitalist problem, that question I always get. I'm never going to school for learning. I'm always going to get a job, but we'll talk about capitalism and education another time. But that question usually leads into another one, or another statement most of the time. It's like, you have to get a job. You can't live off your wife. And that's the usual presupposition in this country, and it has been for a long time, since the 50s really, is that the man goes to work and the woman stays at home. And it's just not natural to some people if it's the other way around. And more than that, a lot of times I'll even get something like, wait, your wife works and you stay at home? Because I say something, maybe I will just stay at home. Maybe we'll have a child and I'll raise the child. And they'll say, well, you can't do that. You're not a real man if you do that. Now think about that phrase, you're not a real man. It's, one, as sexist as you think it is. And two, not really as sexist as you think it is in that way. Because most of you are probably thinking, that's just crazy, this guy's an idiot. But it's not really his fault. Think about what this phrase means, not just in respect to women, but also into men. Because sexism always cuts both ways. You can't be sexist to women without also being sexist to men. It means, not only does he really think a woman can't do something like that, and I'm not trying to blame this kid anymore, I'm talking more generally people who think like this, which is the majority in this country, they don't just think women can't do that. They judge the men on it, too. So if I don't, then I'm not living up to their standard either. So this is a very much deeper problem than most people give it credit for, because it's not just about women. Just today, there's a club rush going on, and we're all promoting our school clubs. Mine is the debate club. And if you're interested, you can also email me at that same address about that. And next to me is the feminist club. And a couple guys walk by, and I'm trying to say, hey, join my club, you know, being the PR marketing guy, I'm supposed to be in Club Rush. And they, you know, nod towards the feminist sign that's next to me and just start shaking their head. What, you know, what are you doing with these people? And they just don't get it. Feminism isn't just about women. It's about men, too, because, well, first of all, it sounds cliche. We're all in this together, right? Anything that is done bad for women is done bad for men. So just like when they say, you know, my wife can't work and support us, they're saying I should be the one doing it. They're giving me a role, because that's what sexism is. It's gender roles. It's assigning a role to everybody and saying, you do this. You do this or else. This is how you're supposed to be. And frankly, because, let's just get out of the way, I think sexism is stupid. I mean, I don't want to mince words here. I don't think it's misled. I don't think it's mislabeled. It's just stupid, and it needs to stop. Men are just too damn stupid when it comes to sexism. But they were raised that way, and we'll get to that excuse in a minute, too. But I want to talk about... It seems like a mundane problem, because we're just used to it. That's the other problem about sexism. It's latent. It's under the surface. It's just lingering there, and we just... I don't want to say it's the elephant in the room, because it's more like the jaguar in the room, because it's like eating everyone in front of us, and we still don't do anything about it. So last year I was in New York with my wife, and we were walking around town, Broadway, and we had obviously crossed from a tourist part of town into a more... Not seedy, I'm not saying that, it's just not a tourist part. It's a regular part of the city with commuters, workers, you know, just going to and fro, going to lunch. So we were at a crosswalk, and we were waiting there for the light to turn so we can cross the street, and this young professional woman was next to us. And she was just waiting there. She was just standing there, waiting to get on with her day, just like my wife and I. And like a sick gazelle who just strays from the pack, this guy peels away from the wall of this building he and his friends are leaning against and just saunters, what I'm sure he thinks the word saunter would mean, but it really looks like creeping, creeps up to this woman and just starts talking to her. And you know what I'm saying. You instantly know what I mean when I say he starts talking to her. He's not asking for the time. He's not saying, "Hi, how are you doing, ma'am?" You know exactly what it is. "Hey, how you doing, baby? Ooh, you look so good. Blah, blah, blah." That BS crap. And this woman just stands there. And I'm not trying to say she shouldn't, but she's just standing there, just looking ahead. And I just see in her face, she's just like, oh my God, one, this is probably scaring her a little bit. How can it not? And two, just, are you serious? And I'm thinking the same thing. I'm just staring at the guy because I can't believe what I'm seeing from my eyes. That's like something you see in a bad show, right? And he doesn't notice me because he's looking at the woman. And I imagine if he saw me staring, it might have actually started something. So that actually kind of worried me looking back. But I'm just staring at him. I cannot believe that. It's called what, catcalling, right? You know, when you whistle at a woman who's walking in front of your car. "Oh, hey, how you doing?" Do you honestly expect something to come out of that? There's two things to expect from that type of brain. It's not a male brain. It's a stupid brain. Sexism is stupid. So they're either expecting a legitimate response, legitimate to them being, "Oh yeah, thank you for coming up to me randomly. I so want to go down on you now." Or they're expecting nothing from the woman and are just showing off for their male friends. I'm pretty sure it's that last one is what they're actually expecting, but secretly hoping for the first one, because they probably watch too much porn and they think that's how the world works. You know, you deliver a pizza and, "Oh, you don't have any cash. Well, I might as well have sex with you." You know, this is how those sexist minds work. Because that's how women are appreciated in a sexist society like ours. They're appreciated for the only thing that matters, their body. Their body and how they use it to make men feel good. That's what sexism, that's what the patriarchy theory is about. Patriarchy theory is feminist theory about how the society works to enable men and subjugate women. Patriarchy meaning we consider women weaker, childish, they have to be looked over. And I know that's definitely true from just personal experience growing up with my, I hate to use the phrase, old school family in New York. The women were the ones who, you know, did the cooking and cleaning, but the men took care of them, which is why I'm not a real man, because I'm not taking care of my wife. She's taking care of me. Now, I would actually say we're taking care of each other, and that's what our marriage is, but that's not how they see that. Because in a patriarchal society, it's the man who takes care of the woman, just as the man or parent takes care of the child. It's the same thing. Patriarchal society was the same thing described slavery in the South. The white man takes care of the black man. It's the same exact concept. One group takes care of the other incompetent, childish group. That's how it's viewed. So did it matter who this woman was standing at this corner, where her job was, what she was doing, her life, dreams, hopes, past? Does any of that matter? No, she was just a piece of meat who happened to walk by and caught this guy's eye. She was there for one purpose only, to please men. You can see it in how we put women down and how we put men down. Men are put down, like me, I'm not considered a real man because I need to get a job. I'm put down for what I do. I'm a physics major and a philosophy major. Oh, well, that's worthless. You are worthless as a man that way. You're not building something. You're not shooting or killing something. But how do we put women down? Adele is a popular singer currently. And another thing, she is the only lyricist I know in the last few years who knows how to write an actual song, which lyrics, that they're more than just "Oh baby, oh baby," but that's another story. So, but several times I've heard it that when people put her down, they don't just say she's a bad singer, which is what they would say about a man. Oh, he's just a horrible singer. You know, I just don't like that band. He doesn't know what music is. How is Adele put down? She's fat. She's not there to just entertain her with her voice. She's there to look good. So we put women down based on what they are, not who they are. That's pretty much the definition of objective and subjective. Men are subjects. They are things to do, or things who do things. They are persons who act. Women are objects. They are things acted upon. She is there for my pleasure. She should do something for me. I will do this to her. Okay, what's another one? Jennifer Lawrence was another one. She just won an Oscar for Best Actress. Haven't seen it yet, but looks good. She gave the finger to a reporter in the press room. Supposedly, it was because he wrote something that she didn't like. Supposedly, it was an inside joke. Who cares? Now, if a guy did that, which I think some guys actually have done, you know, the tougher type of guys, like the Mickey Rourke type people who get back there, and they're considered, you know, tough rebels. Oh, look at him. He's crazy. What is it said about Jennifer Lawrence when she flips someone off? It's skanky. It's not classy. She's not a lady. She's not acting the way a quiet, petite, small woman needs to be. Stand in the corner, look pretty, and just be there for us to look at. And this is ass-backwards 1950s thinking. It's 2013, and this woman who just won an Oscar for Best Actress for playing a, not saying effeminate, but not traditional woman character, is being called not classy. Classy? What kind of insult is that in a modern age? This, I mean, if you want to go back to the golden era where people were actually, you know, in the dresses and the flash bulbs were going off everywhere and there's you know, Ava Gardner's waving to the people. I mean, classy? We need to get with it. Here's a much better way to look at the difference between how we put down men and women. Lindsay Lohan versus Charlie Sheen. They're pretty much both jokes, I think, but for the same reason, is because I think they're crazy people who do crazy things. But in the press, they're anything but equal. One is vilified for being out of control, for not doing what we expect of her, for not being the pretty pair of breasts she's supposed to be, for not just getting on the screen, doing a movie, and then posing with the cleavage showing and all that for all our magazines. So she's made out to be bad, she's made out to be a whore, and we post pictures of her crying because we think it's funny. Charlie Sheen, who's a confirmed wife beater, who burns every bridge possible between him and anyone who helped him get to fame, is practically declared a hero. He thinks he's himself a god among men. He's bi-winning with tiger blood. And everyone loves it. He's sold out shows after making all that ass of himself. He is okay to do that. Women are not okay to go crazy. When men go crazy, it's them sowing their oats. When they go crazy, it's a midlife crisis. When they go crazy, it's just men being men. But what about Britney Spears, Whitney Houston, Courtney Love? All these women are just as bad, and I mean bad as in, you know, crazy and wild as their male performer counterparts. And we all hear the stories about bands who go to hotels and trash them, throw furniture out. But no, that's a cool story for a male band to do. If a woman does that, oh, she's trashy. And what about when Michael Jackson died? He was one of the few male performers who was vilified. One, I would say, because he tried to feminize himself. But then he died, and then suddenly everyone loved him again. All was forgiven. When Whitney Houston died, she wasn't forgiven. She was considered a crack whore and still made fun of. But most people don't get it in America, because we have a watered-down latent sexism, like I said. I want to talk about a few cases around the world where sexism is anything but latent. It is boiling. And the most recent one that's been getting worldwide attention anyway is a Pakistani 15-year-old girl, Malala Yousafzai. I know I mispronounced that Pakistani name. I'm really sorry. And I know it's Malala or Malala. I've heard it both ways, but I'm going to say Malala because I've heard it that way more. But so it's probably wrong in the press, right? So she was targeted by the Taliban because she wrote a blog on how important education is to girls. Equal education, you know, equal education for men and for women. Women should be going to school. And remember, she's 15 years old now. She did this a couple years ago. She was barely a teenager, and she's writing a blog and talking about how this is important. So the Taliban targeted her for that. And one of their members stopped her school bus, got on, you know, because the bus driver doesn't care, right? It's the Taliban. He can do what he wants. He's a man. He can do what he wants. Just a bus of girls. Says, which one of you is Malala? She's pointed out. She raises her hand. And she gets shot in the face. Right in the face, point blank. By what most would consider a miracle, she lived. She wasn't a martyr. She lived, was flown to London, I think, where she was treated. And the second she came out of the hospital, she continued her activism. This is why. She said she's not scared of these people. That's, one, what sexism is. Being so patriarchal that when a woman doesn't do what you want, you shoot them like a rabid dog. And two, is the response that you should give them, is don't stop. In 2011, Saudi Arabian women just got the right to drive. That's a little bit less striking than being shot in the face, but think about that too. It's not even just about education. These women weren't allowed to, any of them, weren't allowed to drive. They could not operate a car, just like a child. But don't think that this is just, you know, a third world problem. In America, it's not that bad. We're not shooting women. We let them drive. I'm sure someone said that already, and just think of what that would mean, because I've heard that too. We let them drive. We let them have the right to vote. We let them drive. We let them have the right to vote. If you think patriarchy is in America, you're not paying attention, or you're just part of it in denial. And let's talk about that patriarchy in America. Every 2 minutes, a person is raped in this country, most of them women. And about the men who are being raped, it's the same patriarchal sexism that keeps them from coming to the police, from coming out. Because I was called not a real man because I'm a student and not providing for my wife. What do you think a man is called when he's raped? He's not only called not a man. Well, I can't use those types of words that are used on this show, but you know what they're called. They're put down. They're put down and called women. I think sissy is the nicest word, to, if I can use that phrase, that I can say on the radio. So this, again, the sexism goes both ways. It's not just against women. And we'll never remove rape. You can't stop crime. You can only try to prevent it. But there's ways to try to prevent it, which is, you know, stopping the crime from happening by locking up criminals. But there's also education. Because what causes all these rapes to happen? Most rapes in the country are of women by men they know. Not strangers. This fantasy that the gun nuts had, you know, in the earlier show we had, of women needing to protect themselves, if they actually looked at the numbers, that doesn't apply. It's not about protecting yourself from a random attack. You know, in the middle of the night, you're walking down a dark alley for some reason, and this big thug with tattoos and a wife beater just pulls out of the shadows and takes you. That's not what happens. It's someone you know. It's someone in your family. It could be your husband. There are still states, I think it was actually California, where, I'll check into that and I'll post it on my site. I don't want to say it's one place when it's really not, but a recently court case in a state Supreme Court, I believe it was, said this rape cannot be considered rape because it was by the husband. And that's not rape, because a husband, by definition, cannot rape his wife. That's patriarchy, when the wife is property to be used as the husband will. So that's still in America. Now, I believe the judge did that more as judicial activism to get notice on it, but those laws are still here. And another point is that those laws were made to begin with in this country. So most rapes are by men who know that woman. So, and they think they can do it because that's what we allow. Now you're going to say, we don't allow rape, James. That's crazy. But think about this. Last year, a group of teenagers in Ohio raped a classmate at a party. She got drunk and passed out, and they had their way with her. I think it was four or five guys. One after the other, they did her while she was passed out. Now, a few weeks ago, I don't think they've been through trial yet, but a few weeks ago, a video was released of these boys bragging about the attention they're getting for the case. Now, it was like at another party or something, and they were bragging about how they loved raping her. They said how she looked so dead and how she must have really liked it. And they're laughing and joking and ha ha ha. Isn't that funny? It's sick and it's pathetic. But that's the type of environment some people are raised in. And I don't want to say most. I don't know if it's most. But that environment is there. That environment is fostered by older ideals of the country. It's fostered by the patriarchy. And like I said, I'm not going to have enough time to get into everything I wanted to because there's so much to go over. But like I said, the show's moving to Friday while I have more time. And so maybe I'll even go over some of these points next Friday as well. But let me skip ahead to something else I wanted to get on. Male and female are physical concepts. They're physical concepts because there are actual male and female parts in biology. Those are physical things you can point to. That is a male, it has a penis. That is a female, it has a vagina. But masculine and feminine are not. Now, this is one of the things Eastern religion gets correct. The whole yin-yang and Taoism principle is the melding of halves. Now, while there are patriarchies in China, the philosophy of it, the enlightened in philosophy, that I guess you could call it, of it, of the Taoism, is of a melding of halves. Soft and hard, dark and light, night and day, and masculine and feminine. The way they see it is that everyone has feminine and masculine in them. And feminine doesn't mean woman. And masculine doesn't mean man. And feminine doesn't mean weak. Feminine masculine doesn't mean strong or weak, right or wrong. And that's the point. They're more like passion and empathy. They're both very important emotions that you need. One can be said to be more self-centered, more society-centered, but that's not to say selfishness is bad or selflessness is weak. The point is to be both. It's moderation. This was also encapsulated in Eastern philosophies. Again, I am a philosophy major. You're going to get this every once in a while. Of Aristotle talking about there are virtues, and you have to be in the middle of those virtues. You can't be, like, courage is a virtue, but you can't be foolhardy and just rush into any burning building. You have to know what you're doing. You can't be cowardly and just run away. You have to be courageous, which comes with a knowledge and a taming of that virtue. It's the same thing with masculine and feminine. You need to be both. It's like in the movie The Matrix. There was Neo and there was a Trinity. And they were together. They were the couple. There were no masculine and feminine. They wore practically the same clothes. And that's how it works. You're the same entity, and your two halves making one whole, and that's the philosophy we don't have in our culture right now. All right, my time's about running up for the day, so let me just close this by once again reminding I'm moving to Friday at noon. And also for some school news, I am starting a debate club. If you're interested, please talk to me on Facebook. And another thing, .kpcr. I always keep forgetting which one is, if one's before the other. I'm sorry if I'm confusing you too. You could also email me at pierce.debateclub@gmail.com if you're interested in that. I will talk to you again Friday at noon. Thank you for listening.